Conference muted.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Umicore Full Year Results 2010 conference call. I am pleased to present Marc Grynenberg, CEO, and Martin Verluijten, CFO. For the first part of this call, let me remind you that all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Madam, sir, please begin.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the presentation of Umicore's full year results for 2010. I'm joined by Martin, as was indicated, and also our investor relations colleagues, and we'll be pleased to take any questions that you might have regarding the results or other topics relevant to Umicore, of course, after the presentation. 2010 clearly has been a very good year for Umicore, and we showed a strong rebound in our results back actually to the pre-downturn levels that we saw in 2007 and 2008. You will recall that about 18 months ago, in the midst of the recession, I predicted that it would take until probably 2012 for us to return to such pre-downturn levels, and I'm delighted today that I've been proved wrong. The rebound has been driven primarily by recovering demand in most sectors. As you will recall, the first half of 2010 was to some extent characterized by restocking in some industries. This positive impact has now faded, and in the second half of the year, we started to really see the strength of underlying demand. The recovery in revenues, combined to our efforts to adapt the cost base, have resulted in a significant jump in earnings. It is also pleasing to see that in some businesses and sites that were hardest hit by the downturn in demand and had to make the toughest cost adjustments, that there we have recently been able to complete or announce new investment programs, and that we have started again to create new employment opportunities. Net earnings were also strong, and while revenues and recurring EBIT came in very close to the 2007 and 2008 levels, I'm pleased that our earnings per share reached, I'm pleased and proud that our earnings per share reached an all-time record level. In the past 10 to 12 years, our EPS have grown on average by 10% per annum, and it is rewarding to see that our strategy has paid off and delivered above standard long-term earnings growth. In terms of financial strength, we retained a strong balance sheet and remain in a very comfortable position regarding our ability to fund our various growth initiatives. The board of directors, as you could read this morning, the board of directors approved yesterday a full year dividend of 0.80 per share, including the interim dividend of 0.3250 that was paid out in October of last year. This is a significant step and a long-term commitment given our policy of paying a stable or gradually increasing dividend. We are indeed confident that we will continue to deliver profitable growth and support this policy of stable or increasing dividend. Finally, as I will outline in a moment, our various growth initiatives under the header of Vision 2015 are making very solid progress. If we start looking at some of the detail, you can see from the slide on page three that the evolution of our revenues and a very clear recovery of 16% year-on-year to reach the 2 billion euro mark again. This was evenly spread over each half year. The first half was boosted, as I mentioned a minute ago, by restocking in some industries, while the second half saw us rather unaffected by the usual seasonal patterns. In certain segments, actually, customers continued to produce through the holiday season towards the end of the year, and the fourth quarter was in fact quite a strong period. Improvements were evident across most industries. Let me start with one of the most relevant examples in that respect. Global car production increased by 25%, with the most significant improvement coming in North America. This impressive figure was partly a result of course, weak or relatively weak comparables in 2009, and also the residual positive impact of government incentive programs, particularly in Europe. In all of our recycling activities, we saw an improved supply environment, and this was not confined to our precious metals recycling operations, was also a factor in other areas such as cobalt and zinc recycling activities. Many other industries that we serve also showed a strong recovery, including consumer electronics, where mobile phones and laptop sales grew, the electrical equipment industry, tooling and jewelry, to name but a few. As I mentioned earlier, our profitability rebounded even more strongly than our revenues. We really saw the full benefits of the adapted cost structure paying off, and as you can see from the graph on page 4, the earnings are back to similar levels as those reported pre-downturn in 2007-2008. Second half performance was somewhat lower than that of the first half, largely due to a lower contribution from associates, in particular Element 6 abrasives, and recycling earnings that were only excellent in the second half as opposed to outstanding in the first half of the year. If we look at returns, the performance was also very strong, and you should remember that the working capital requirements went up through the year as we had anticipated and announced as a result of increased sales and higher metal prices. However, our strict working capital management combined with strong earnings has enabled return on capital employed to exceed 17% again this, not this year, in 2010. In terms of environment and safety, we saw a slight deterioration of our safety performance in 2010, with both accident frequency and severity rates somewhat higher than in 2009, starting, of course, from already a very good performance in 2009, but as you know, we will be only satisfied when the safety performance reach the level of excellence. So the figures in 2009 were a little bit of a disappointment. However, I'm quite happy with the new initiatives that we have started to introduce in the company that are far-reaching programs that will allow us, I'm confident, to make progress on this front in the coming years and reach the ultimate goal of being an accident-free company. With regards to the sustainable development objectives that we had set ourselves back in 2005, I'm pleased to report a high degree of completion and success. The full results in respect of those SD objectives will be published next month, and I can say that already say that the progress has been very good and tangible, both on the environmental and social fronts. Employment figures show some degree of stability in the consolidated companies. Obviously, we faced some tough restructuring decisions back in 2008 and 2009, and this had an effect on overall employment levels in the group. And I'm glad today to say that we are again creating new jobs, and particularly in activities where we anticipate the fastest growth. The figures on page 6 also show that we continue to manage our cost base with the necessary vigilance and discipline. In terms of employee engagement, we completed our latest people survey. That's an exercise we can conduct every second or third year throughout the group. So we completed the last edition back in September, and the results show a further overall improvement in the level of satisfaction of our colleagues around the globe. As you know, last year we introduced a new strategy called Vision 2015, which provides us with a clear growth focus for the coming years. There are several areas where we think we have opportunities for exceptional growth. These are in the expansion of our automotive catalyst business into new segments such as the heavy-duty diesel segment or in emerging markets. The development of our rechargeable battery materials business to meet the needs of hybrids and electrical vehicles. The expansion of our recycling business using our homegrown UHT technology, and in the slightly longer term, the development of our businesses serving the photovoltaic market. I'm happy to say that tangible progress has been made on all fronts, and I'd like to give you a brief overview of where we stand in that respect. If we look in the first place at the development of our rechargeable battery business, today we are in a phase of intensive qualification work with various battery producers and car manufacturers. We are gaining a high degree of interest, and beyond that, of acceptance from these players, and our investment plans and ramp-up plans reflect the outlook for the offtake of such materials. Capability and capacity expansions in Asia are making good progress, and the expansion of our facility in Korea is scheduled to start up in mid-2011, as is the case for the greenfield site in Kobe, Japan. Japanese investment clearly will put us in an even better position to serve the existing and new customers in the Japanese battery industry. You will be aware also that this domain is very competitive from an intellectual property point of view, and we have stepped up our efforts in this area in recent months, filing, for instance, 9 new patent families in 2010 and entering into some attractive partnerships and patent acquisition arrangements during the year, as also was announced a few weeks ago. Some of which were announced a few weeks ago. Turning to automotive catalysts, we have continued to make good progress in securing new heavy-duty diesel business awards, and we are continuing to build up our testing and production infrastructure. You will have noticed that this morning we announced the investment in a new and dedicated HDD production line at our facility in France, which will be up and running, should be up and running by the middle of next year. At the same time, and this was already announced, we are building a technology development center and testing center in China, which will include also HDD facilities and equipment. And by 2012, we will have a comprehensive offering of production and test facilities in all regions where the HDD market is set to take off and where we have positioned ourselves. On the recycling side, the market is continuing to evolve. Battery recycling requirements are set to tighten further in the coming years in many regions, and we are also seeing collection networks becoming more and better organized for various types of electronic scrap, in particular in Europe. The feed that we are attracting for the new battery recycling facility is coming not only from Europe but also from Asia, and we are entering into a contract with the various battery and car producers to recycle either their production scrap or eventually their used batteries when those reach the end of their lifetime. As an example of this, you may have read a recent announcement by Tesla mentioning that they will be recycling their batteries at our newly built Hoboken facility. Speaking of the newly built Hoboken facility, construction is making good progress, and we should be ready by the middle of this year for a startup and ramp up. And you know also that this facility will serve for a pilot test for new supply streams other than battery recycling. We've also set up a pre-processing and dismantling facility in Germany, which is for large battery systems, which is already up and running. On top of the three areas I've just talked about, we have also been making headways elsewhere. In energy materials, for instance, as you know, we have completed an investment in a new substrates facility in the U.S., and we also have plans for a major expansion of our capabilities in thin film products for display and photovoltaic materials. In performance materials, we're also weighing up a number of promising investment files for 2011 and beyond, and this should mean an increase in CapEx levels for that business group this year. In 2010, we dedicated some 6% of our revenues to R&D programs, and some 15 million of the total R&D spent was capitalized. Overall, I would anticipate that R&D efforts will remain at their current high level as we continue to focus our development on key growth areas in recycling rechargeable batteries and catalysis in particular. In terms of CapEx, expenditures were somewhat below the levels of 2009 last year. However, we expect that the CapEx level will increase again in 2011 and should again exceed 200 million, as was the case a couple of years ago. And this is due to the fact that the new investment projects are starting to enter the implementation phase, including the investments in heavy-duty diesel production or rechargeable battery materials that I've just talked about, recycling, or various other projects throughout the group. If we turn now to look briefly at our performance in each of the business groups, we can see a very striking recovery in our catalysis business, with revenues including associates up by almost 23%, in line with the market overall globally, and with earnings more than quadrupling from the depressed levels of 2009. As you will recall, the automotive exposure in this business group meant that we saw a substantial dip in the second half of 2008 and the first part of 2009. The rebound came in 2010 as we felt the combined impact of the market recovery, with global car production increasing by some 25%, and also our adapted cost base. The strongest recovery in market terms was seen in North America, which was also hardest hit during the recession. In Europe, the recovery was somewhat less pronounced in volume terms, but there was an increase in the percentage, in the proportion of more complex engine types being produced, with diesel engines gaining ground and once again making up about 50% of new car sales in the region. And this shift, as you would expect, was beneficial to us from a value point of view, as we typically are well positioned in these highly sophisticated and demanding systems. In Asia, car production grew strongly, although there are some signs that in China the pace of growth is starting or may be starting to slow. Precious metals chemistry operations saw increased levels of demand, particularly as a result of the improvements in the automotive catalyst business. Turning to energy materials, we also see a strong recovery with revenues up by 14% on the 2009 levels and earnings increasing by more than 50%. In cobalt and specialty materials, the main reason behind the recovery was the pickup in the market for products used, for example, in ceramics and chemical applications, also the tightness in certain nickel-based products, and the end, I would say, of a very difficult period in the tooling sector. Volumes have recovered in the market for rechargeable battery materials used in portable electronics. However, market conditions remain tough there and have been notable for even stiffer competition and price pressure. I'd like also to point out that sales of battery materials for hybrid and electric vehicle applications are taking off nicely, and their proportion in the sales mix is set to increase further significantly in 2011 and beyond. Our business there was also supported, our business in cobalt and special materials, to be precise, was also supported by good conditions and higher volumes for the cobalt recycling and refining activities. In electro-optic materials, performance was somewhat down. Sales of germanium substrates continued to grow, driven largely by a higher demand from the LED lighting sector. However, this was not sufficient to fully offset a reduced level of demand for germanium optics products. In thin film materials, the emphasis was on the development work for the new rotary targets, where we made further encouraging progress in terms of customer qualification as well as first repeat orders. In performance materials, we're able to double our EBIT contribution, largely due to the very pronounced turnaround at our associate company Element 6 Abrasives, although you will have noticed that the effect thereof was even more pronounced in the first half than in the second half. Also, we had a very significant turnaround in our own technical materials business that was also severely affected by the downturn back at the end of 2008 and in 2009. We saw strong demand in the end markets for both our electroplating business, in particular in Asia, where the electronic sector recovered well, and also in platinum engineered materials, where there was a strong demand for materials used in the production of glass for flat panel displays. In the zinc-related activities, the chemicals businesses overall saw higher volumes as the end markets recovered well and a better availability of scrap for the recycling operations. This, however, did not offset the impact of a lower received zinc price, and the performance was therefore somewhat down year on year. In building products, you will recall that last year I cautioned that this activity would likely face the impact of the downturn later than most activities due to the nature of the construction sector. The cold weather in Europe in January 2010, as well as at the end of the year in November and December of 2010, clearly was a further handicap. In our recycling business group, it is probably not appropriate to talk of a recovery, as the performance in 2009 was more than satisfactory with a return of more than 40%. And the good news is, or the great news, is that profitability strengthened even further in 2010, coming close to the record levels seen in 2008. This was due to a positive development in the supply conditions, the availability of materials indeed from complex secondary streams was up, and the supply, and so was the supply of spent automotive catalysts. Overall, outcome was a better supply mix for the business. We also felt the benefit of higher metal prices, both from the longer-term contractual prices and the positive market price evolution for precious and many base metals during the year, and secondary metals as well during the year. In the jewelry and industrial metals business, we saw positive effects at both ends of the supply chain, with a continued high level of recycling, coupled with the higher levels of demand for both jewelry-related products as well as coin blanks and other industrial applications. In particular, the high gold prices seen throughout the year have induced many individuals to monetize old jewelry, and that has created an unusual inflow of gold-containing high-grade scrap to be recycled. Precious metals management activities again produced a robust performance driven by high and relatively more volatile prices for precious metals than a year earlier. At this stage, now I would like to hand over to Martin, who will comment on the financials.
Good afternoon. I'm turning to slide 20. I'd like you to take a look at the evolution of our net results between 2009 and 2010. As you can see from this build-up, we have a strong impact, clearly, of the 16% increase in revenue, and that amounts to about 277 million. Against that, we have operating expenses that only increased by 7%, which indicate the favorable impact on our results of the streamlining of our business that we did during the crisis times in a number of our business units. Taxation in absolute terms was higher, but you would expect that given the higher level of profitability. The effective tax rate was somewhat lower, mainly due to the geographical spread of earnings, but also the impact of tax credits, mainly in Belgium. And maybe at some other time I will go into the outlook on tax if you are interested in that. The net financial charges were lower, and the main contribution to that was exchange effects, which are related to the repatriation of previous year's dividends at creating favorable exchange effects. The results from associates, as Mark already said, was significantly higher due primarily to the strong contribution from Element 6 Abrasives and the Automotive Catalyst Associates. Overall, you can see, therefore, the significant uplift in the net profit to more than three times the level of 2009. Now, the next slide, if we look at the earnings per share evolution, it's no surprise that it follows the same positive pattern. Through the lower number of shares outstanding, I mean, our earnings per share reach an all-time record high of 2.33 euro per share. Yesterday, the board of directors decided to recommend to shareholders the payment of a full year dividend of 80 euro cents per share, representing an increase of more than 20%. By way of reminder, the payout in May would be the total figure less the interim dividend of 32.5 euro cents already paid as an interim dividend in October last year. When we look at the effect on the net financial debt evolution, you see that we have clearly generated very strong operating cash flows during the year, close to 400 million. However, the improving business environment coupled with higher metal prices clearly pushed up our working capital requirements by close to 250 million. And we've discussed this earlier, that this is a natural evolution. In times where revenues are going down and metal prices are going down, I mean, we create cash flows, but clearly at other times we need more working capital. We have already talked about the CapEx spending, the tax and the financial charges, and the other main impact on the working capital was the dividend payment to shareholders, accounting for about 100 million euro, which is the combination of the prior year dividend with the interim dividend paid in October. So the debt levels increased by 183 million over the year. We remain, though, in a very strong financial position with a gearing ratio of under 20% and a good mix of debt instruments that on average lead to an interest rate that is below 4%. Slide 24, finally we look at the non-recurring elements that amount to about 8 million euro. Major elements in there was the residual cost linked to restructuring in Germany, also the impairment, the further impairment of the Hycor activities, and a small amount of additional environmental provisions in a number of our sites. So right now I would like to hand back to Mark for the wrap-up and the outlook.
Thank you, Martin. So by way of summary, and I'm now moving to slide number 26, let me say that We are very satisfied with the market recovery and proud of our ability to rebound and achieve in 2010 results that are back up to the pre-downturn levels, and this way ahead of the timing we had originally anticipated. This is particularly pleasing as all segments in the group have posted a good overall performance and an improvement in performance. We remain, as Martin pointed out, in a strong financial position and well able to self-finance all of our various growth initiatives that we have planned in the near future, and we are positioning ourselves successfully to deliver on our recently announced Vision 2015 strategy. Finally, let me conclude with the part that I bet most of you will have read in the first place and will have been most interested in, that is the outlook for 2011. As you know, we typically only provide directional guidance at this stage of the year with only 1 month of operation behind us. What I can say is that we see today good demand in all segments, continuing the positive trends that we observed since the end of 2009 and which consistently improved throughout 2010. This gives us today sufficient confidence that in the absence, of course, of a major shock in the economy, both revenues and earnings should be ahead of the 2010 levels for the full year 2011. Going segment by segment, we expect the catalysis business to feel the benefits of continued growth in the car industry. This growth will not, of course, be as strong as the recovery year we have just experienced, but should be robust all the same. In energy materials, we will start to feel some benefits from the startup of our recent investment, as these put us in a position to service our customers in new and emerging product areas. In performance materials, we anticipate steady growth to resume now that the recovery has been completed in most customer segments. In recycling, supply conditions remain strong, both as a result of strong demand for materials and also some constraints on the primary supply side. You should also factor in that some precious metals and base metal prices have been locked in for 2011 and 2012, to a lesser extent also into 2013, which provides us with a fairly good degree of visibility or predictability for the recycling operations. Finally, looking at our investment profile for the year, we expect to see higher CapEx level compared to 2010 as a series of significant growth projects get underway or are indeed in process or in the process of being completed. It is too early to tell exactly or to give you an exact figure about the CapEx level for 2011, but given the investments that are in the pipeline, either on a completion, on the way to completion, or in an earlier phase, such as the investments in Korea, Japan, or for rechargeable battery materials, or the new smelter in Hoboken for recycling, or some of the recently announced investments in catalysis, it is reasonable to expect that CapEx will exceed 200 million euro in 2011. With that, I would like to move to the more interactive part of the session today and invite you to direct any questions that you might have to me and Martin. I would just ask you one favor, is that you would keep the number of questions asked at any one time to 2 questions. This will enable a smoother process and will also allow everyone to have an equal chance of participating in the conference call. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, you can now ask a question by pressing the code 01 on your telephone keypad and you will enter a queue. After your name is announced, please ask your question. Please bear in mind, as the chairman asked, ask 2 questions at a time. So once again, please press the code 01 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. And we have a first question from Mr. Ryan Thacker from Credit Suisse. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to keep it to two questions then. The first is, in your outlook statement, you say you've locked in metal prices for 2011 to 2013. Can you go a little more into that and the impact on recycling? Is that going to limit growth any? And the second question, your outlook statement, you state that growth is likely in sales and earnings for 2011. When we talked to a strategic review about a month ago, we talked about double-digit growth on average going forward. Is there any reason why 2011 will not see that double-digit growth? Is there anything in 2011 which is likely to limit the growth? Thank you.
Well, I think you've made my task a bit easier by asking the question in the form of whether there is any reason that we wouldn't reach that level in 2011. No, I don't see any reason why we would be on a slower growth track this year. However, it's a bit early to give you a more precise guidance. And you will recall that when I mentioned the fact that we were growing in segments that grew at a double-digit rate for the next 5 to 10 years, that also pointed out that the growth would not be linear. In certain segments, more than others, we grow in steps. And this being said, we're off to a good start in 2011. Based on the information or the indications that we have today, we're fairly optimistic about the what can be achieved in the course of the year. It's probably too early to give you a more precise guidance for growth in revenues or earnings, but we feel pretty good about what we see today.
Okay, thank you.
And on PM prices, on precious metals prices, because of the structure of our supply contract with our suppliers, a significant portion of the precious metals price exposure is locked in already or is fixed for 2011. Is that limiting the growth? No, the growth is to a large extent a function of volumes of arrivals under given contracts, etc. It's increasing the predictability and increasing the volatility of results. This being said, number of metals or supply mix, the recycling activities that we cannot hedge because there is no market for that. A number of secondary metals or even number of precious metals like rhodium cannot be hedged. So there is still an element of I wouldn't call that volatility, but of uncertainty in terms of the precious metals contribution to the overall result.
Okay, so you don't yet know what you're going to make in recycling for the next couple of years. It's not that you've locked in contracts and prices for 2 years.
So, sorry, do we know what we're going to make in terms of what of supply mix or earnings or
Either in recycling. I mean, are those contracts locked in for the next couple of years or not yet?
No, we have quite a vast proportion of contracts that are fully locked in for the next couple of years. So that's why we're so I would say outspoken about our the outlook for recycling activities, because this is one of the activities where we have a fairly good visibility over the medium term indeed, because a large proportion of our contracts are fairly long-term contracts indeed. This being said, as you will recall from what happened in 2009, if our customers for one reason or another are not in a position to produce anymore, as happened in certain cases in 2009, where some of our supply industries had to cut down production or to idle production capacity, this induces a level of a certain level of uncertainty regarding the volumes under the contracts.
Okay, thank you.
I don't want to leave you with the impression everything is up in the air, that all the balls are up in the air. This is an area where we have very good, relative to other businesses, good level of visibility for the medium term. and I can tell you that we're happy with what we see today in terms of supply abundance and the mix, the type of mix that we're able to attract.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, madam. And the next question is from Sophie Jouffier from Citi. Madam, please go ahead.
Afternoon. Thanks for taking the questions. First of all, the heavy-duty diesel investment even...
Hello, madam, this is the operator speaking. Can you use the telephone and not speak to one?
Is that better?
It's a little better, thank you.
Yes, hello, sorry. First question was on the heavy-duty diesel investment you've announced this morning. Could you just give a bit of sort of colour as to what particularly has triggered the investment now? You've obviously had a number of contracts in the pipeline for 2013, I think, or 2012, 2013, for a while. So is it any new contracts coming in? And the second question, just the dull one on tax, what is the outlook for this year and perhaps the medium term, if you can give any colour? Thanks.
Okay, let me start with the heavy-duty investment before handing over to Martin for tax. Yes, indeed, we have already production and testing capabilities for heavy-duty diesel. This being said, you're right in saying that with the contract that we have recently secured that we need now to step up capabilities in that respect to be able to serve those customers fully in comes 2013, 2014 when most of these contracts start kicking in. So indeed this is fully in line with the recent communications and comments that we made in respect of heavy duty diesel. We talked first about the technology gap that we closed, then we talked about the market positioning efforts, then we confirmed that we had secured a number of contracts in a number of regions, and this investment and some other investments that are in the pipeline fit fully in that evolution, and we want to be fully ready for in particular for Euro 6 and some other new opportunities when they materialize in the 2013-14 time frame, indeed.
Great, thank you.
Let's get to tax. I mean, first thing that I think I should state is that when we look at the long term, our tax rate should be moving towards the 25-30% mark. I mean, right now we have a very favorable impact from the fact that our business in Belgium, driven by the recycling activity, is allowing us to use a number of deferred tax assets that were before not recognized. That will possibly happen as long for a couple of years, as long as these buoyant business circumstances in Belgium happen. But then I think you have to slowly make the step up towards the 25-30% range.
Okay, great. So, 2011, a similar sort of tax rate to 2010 is reasonable.
Can be anywhere between where it is now and early 20s.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
And we have a next question from Peter Zwinkels from Royal Bank of Scotland. Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Peter Zwinkels, RBS. Two questions, if I'm allowed. First is on... on the precious metal recycling. First of all, can you please give an indication whether the precious metal management in the second half performance was stronger than in the first half, i.e. Is the impact of the recycling less than you would expect on first glance? And then the second second question is, if I look at your visibility, what is now in store which you can process for in 2011, how much is that? And also, I looked up in the Platinum Review from Johnson Matthey that indeed in 2009 you saw a decrease in automotive catalyst scrap material of 26%. Is this something of a guidance which you would not be able to hedge? In other words, you are only allowed to hedge 75% in order to be not stuck with, let's say, naked contracts? Those are my questions. Thanks.
Okay. So since you raised three questions, I assume that I may choose two out of the three. Let me start with the precious metals recycling segment and clarify that the performance or the contribution of precious metals management was steady across the year. So this is not a factor in the explanation of the slight difference that we have between H1 and H2 in the overall performance. Secondly, the question regarding the supply situation for 2011. What we have in store today, if I may call it so, is pretty good. We have a very good visibility for 2011. The supply situation is indeed, as I mentioned earlier, when addressing the question of one of your colleagues earlier, the situation is pretty good.
But how many months are we then talking about? What is now in Hoboken, which you will process in the coming months?
That's not how things work. I cannot answer that question because it's not the way that things work. It's just I can tell you supply situation is good. We have good visibility. And it's not that we're piling up stuff in Hoboken until the trucks can no longer drive through the plant. Huh?
Okay, thanks.
But then you raised a question which I think is relating to the supply of or the availability of spent AutoCAD, but I'm not sure I fully understood the question. Can you repeat it, please?
Yeah, if we use that as a proxy for supply for Hoboken, let's say that the automotive scrap came down by, the supply of automotive scrap came down by 26% in 2009, is that maybe also an indication of what is your total visibility for hedging? Which means that if you, let's say, if the supply goes down by 30, go down by 30%, then you basically would also argue that you only will hedge 70%, because otherwise you have an hedge which you can't deliver.
The second part of your question is indeed valid in the sense that we would make sure that we do not end up being over-hedged. So that is clear. We know that there is a certain degree of uncertainty regarding the volumes that will eventually arrive at the plant for processing, and also because sometimes we, in the course of the year, we decide to substitute certain contracts with others or certain material types with others. We want to keep the entire flexibility, and we'll always make sure that we do not end up being over-hedged. And as I mentioned earlier, please bear in mind that some of the metals cannot be hedged, and so we'll never end up in an over-hedge situation or under-hedge. Now, what I would like to rectify is that you cannot use the arrivals of spent catalysts as a proxy for the supply situation of Hoboken, because as I mentioned in the previous discussions, we typically work at a fairly constant level of capacity. I mean, it's progressing year in, year out, because we are continuing to make productivity improvements and the process improvements, the mix changes all the time, and it's not because we have less catalysts that we have less production or less recycling activity. It would just be substituted by something else, either because the availability is not good or because the market conditions or the contractual conditions are not as attractive as could be for other types of materials. So we're in a situation, as we mentioned earlier, where we are actually selective and optimizing the mix of supplies that we process through the plant. And just also to make sure there is no misunderstanding, in 2010, the arrivals of catalysts did increase quite a bit as the market recovered, and the PGM price has also probably induced a number of people to who were holding catalysts, spent catalysts, to bring them to recycling. I hope that this clarifies.
Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Adam Collins from Liberum Capital. Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon. A few questions, please. Firstly, could you comment on the impact of rare earth cost inflation on the autocat business, on gasoline autocat costs? As you know, one of your competitors has attempted to quantify the impact on EBIT for 2011. Could you comment? And then secondly, you talked about the fact that you secured orders on HDD primarily for Euro 6 trucks. Have you also secured any business thus far for BRICS trucks or for off-road, or is it too early to be securing business on those future programs? And then if I could ask another one very quickly, you talked about a improvement potentially coming through for the energy materials businesses from a swing into profit from some of the startups, which I guess is the Japan battery materials side and the US germanium substrates business. Could you just talk a little bit about how they might progress through 2011 and 2012 as volumes build up in those two areas?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on the rare earth impact, no, I wouldn't want to go into that level of discussion and quantify the potential impact, because this is a subject that is a subject of negotiation between the customers and ourselves, and this is one of the elements of the negotiation, of price negotiation. There are many aspects to that type of negotiation. Rare earth oxides is one of them, so I wouldn't want to preempt or to jump to conclusions on that subject. Let me go to HDD. Actually, you give me an opportunity to clarify what I said earlier about Euro 6. Actually meant the connection between the new investment in Europe, the announced investment in Europe, and Euro 6 as the focus. I didn't mean that the business that we have won is only Euro 6. We have actually won business in several regions, including in BRIC countries, and so which is not Euro 6 type of business. It's different kind of standards that do apply, and we're also making sure that we have the production capabilities to serve that business in these regions. We have also non-road business in the portfolio, which is also non-Euro 6. It's tier four and similar types of regulation.
Do you have U.S. truck?
Sorry?
U.S. truck. Do you have any U.S. truck orders thus far?
We're not going to. I'm not going to go into that level of detail in the. And on the energy materials, we see indeed, we expect the plants to start ramping up production in the second part of the year for battery materials in Japan and Korea. But that will contribute to the revenue growth, not quite yet materially to the earnings growth, because we have startup costs here, and of course we will start to depreciate the new assets, so it will take a number of months before they start contributing. The plant in Quapaud that's making substrates is in the process of ramping up, is starting to ramp up production, and that will also contribute to serving the rank business in the coming.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Joe Dewhurst from UBS.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the question. Just on the recycling division, with the supply mix, effectively you're saying that you're going to see certainly an improvement there. Could we expect that almost the supply mix of higher value material is a similar order of magnitude increase to what we saw last year? And then just also second question, on the negative margin recycling charging model, Can you sort of give an indication as to what proportion of revenues you think will come from that by the end of this year for recycling? Thank you.
Regarding the first question, at this stage, I wouldn't want to go into a quantified guidance about the order of increase or improvement that we expect. We expect, as we mentioned, a further strengthening, as was highlighted in the outlook statements. But I think it's too early to move to a more quantified guidance. And for the negative value materials, well, you have to bear in mind that the new facility will only start up mid-2011, that we will gradually ramp up production. And please also bear in mind that we will use that facility for pilot tests for different kind of material streams. So we're making progress in contracting and sourcing materials, indeed battery production scrap and spent batteries from electronics and from automotive applications that are indeed negative value materials to a certain extent, but I think it's too early to quantify that.
Okay, thank you.
And the next question is from Frank Claassen from Rabobank. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Frank Claassen, Rabobank. Only one question left, I would say. Can you remind us of your M&A strategy? Will you also be looking at larger targets if the opportunity is there?
Indeed, indeed, M&A remains on the agenda, clearly. We see that as a possible extension or addition to our organic growth strategy. And clearly, while organic growth is a must, especially in those areas where we have unique technologies and market positions, the areas that I have highlighted as part of Vision 2015, mm-hmm. Organic growth is a must. And if we have a possibility or opportunities to accelerate some of that growth or to, accentuate it, through acquisition that would, for instance, give us access to technologies or certain market segments.
And how far would you like to go to leverage up your balance sheet? Can you indicate what the maximum would be?
Let me finish being my first.
Oh, sorry.
So if we have, if we see opportunities to acquire technologies or to penetrate market segments through acquisitions faster than through organic growth, this is something that we are indeed ready to look at and that we have mm-hmm. for a number of years. So the strategy is unchanged. Now, you are well positioned also to realize that M&A markets are not easy these days, that the valuations are pretty demanding,
yep.
Especially if you compare that to organic growth projects or options. How far are we going? Are we ready to go? Well, we have a lot of leeway in the balance sheet, clearly. And as long as we remain investment grade, and you can calculate what that means in terms mm-hmm. of there is no issue for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Arnaud Gossens from BNP Paribas. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. It's Arnaud Gossens from Exxon BNP Paribas. Two questions. The first one with regards to your price exposure, your precious metal price exposure. So I understand that some of your exposure is hedged for the next 2 or 3 years. But what does that mean in terms of working capital needs? Does the hedge also impact the value of the product in your working capital? That's the first question. And then secondly, can you give us more information on the impact of the mix between industrial residues and end-of-life material on your profits? So for example, if you know, what impact would treating more end-of-life material have on the profitability of the Hoboken plant? Thank you.
I'm turning to my finance colleague to help me with the first question. My initial reaction was to say that the hedges have no impact on our working capital needs, and their body language confirms that. So I'm happy to say that it has no impact. The second question, I cannot actually provide you an answer to the second question because it's not necessary that end-of-life materials have a better or lower profitability than industrial residues. It really varies from one type of supply to the other and from one contract to the other. We process we mentioned that during the visit in Hoboken in November last year. We process about two different types of supply streams in our Hoboken plant, and that translates into a multitude of different contracts. And each contract is really unique in terms of the composition of the material, level of impurities, etc. And each contract, we look at the profitability contract by contract, and this is how we optimize the mix rather than looking at it, I would say, industrial residues versus end-of-life material. So I'm unable, actually, to provide an answer because it is really looked at contract by contract.
Okay, it was my understanding that in volume, the plant was processing 80% of, let's say, industrial residues, but in value that was lower than, let's say, 80%. So I had a feeling that the end-of-life material was probably more profitable.
That's income. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Indeed, it's the revenue. It's not necessarily the bottom line. Yeah.
Okay.
But in terms of income, you're right. That's true. On average, the revenues from end-of-life materials is higher in the proportion of the total than the volume.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press the code 01 on your telephone keypad and you will enter a queue. After your name is announced, please ask your question. And we have a next question from Mr. Philippe Depau from ING. Sir, please go ahead. Sir, I'm sorry, but the line quality is extremely bad, so I will ask you to hang up and dial again because we cannot understand what you say, sir. Okay? So we go on to the next question from Ryan Tucker from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi there, I'm going to come in with two more questions. You said in the statement that in optics, the government-sponsored schemes were missing due to government cuts. Can you take us through that a little bit, what schemes they are and when you see that business coming back? And the second bit is kind of a follow-on from someone else's question. We talked about the ramping up of the battery facilities you're building up at the moment. And also, you talked about price competition being fierce in the battery materials business. Can you give us some idea about the profitability of that at the moment? Is it profitable? Will the profitability ramp up as you increase production through those facilities? Or do you think profitability will always be lower because there is so much competition for what is a very high-growth market?
Okay, let me start with the first question on the government-sponsored programs. This is in electro-optic materials and actually in the optics and infrared optics business. I do not expect a major change in the course of this year. And however, and it's difficult then to give. We don't have a lot of visibility beyond 2011 for those.
So, what are those projects? I mean, are they? What are we talking about here?
Infrared optics, infrared technology.
But what are the, I mean, what are the government? What does the government pay for infrared technology for?
Yeah, they buy lenses and infrared technology and devices. Yeah.
To go into military or?
Yep. Security, surveillance, military, night vision,
okay.
Different kind of thermal detection. Indeed. So that is slow, and I do not expect that to change fundamentally this year, and I cannot tell you beyond. And clearly. What matters for us in that respect is to see how commercial applications are taking off and making up for the lower level of demand from government-sponsored programs. And there we see indeed some positive evolution with a lot of new demand for commercial applications in the same fields of surveillance, security, night vision, etc., maintenance, and the likes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Now, the on battery. Let me clarify, the on battery materials that actually where competition is fierce is in the portable electronics segment of lithium-ion batteries. And yeah, I would expect that it will remain a very competitive segment. Now, this being said, we don't do anything that is not profitable. So it is profitable, otherwise we would not do that, and we would not continue to make investments and invest in new product development. We expect the battery segment to be somewhat different because there the technical requirements, the automotive requirements, the specifications are so, I would say, as so much higher and more demanding that indeed it's going to be a different game.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. And we have a next question from Martin Evans from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, it's just a brief question on Element 6 and the associate line. Obviously, as you say, market performed strongly, particularly in the first half, maybe less so in the second because of the R&D cost and so on. Going forward, Element 6, where do we stand? Have we had the majority now of the recovery, or is there still more sort of sharp improvement to come in this area?
No, I think it's fair to say that you've seen the recovery in 2010. And I'd like also to clarify that the business intrinsically did well in the second part of the year, too. However, what you saw in terms of the uneven distribution of profitability is due to less favorable currency moves overall, and also, indeed, as you pointed out, the ramp-up in certain indirect costs. But business performance was fairly steady throughout the year and reflects the full effect of the recovery in the segment served by Element 6 abrasives, and I would expect now a steady state business and steady growth business in the months and years ahead.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Wim Hoste from KBC Securities. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Wim Hoste, KBC Securities. I have two questions on the recycling business. First, could you maybe elaborate why the operating result in the second half was slightly below the result of the first half? Was that because of a change in input mix or because of maybe some operational issues like a maintenance shutdown or something like that? And the second question is about the timing of your lock-in hedges for the 2011 period. Could you maybe indicate whether most of the lock-ins were concluded in during the first half of 2010, or more back-end towards the back-end of the year? In other words, is the average pricing level locked in higher than the 2010 average prices, metal prices, or not? Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's evenly distributed. I'm talking about the timing of the hedges is evenly distributed. I would say it was done in, I mean, some of it was started actually earlier than 2010, sometime in 2011, and the rest was indeed. What did I say?
2011.
In 2009, indeed, the majority of the hedges were entered into in the course of 2010 and fairly evenly distributed across the year. So, no, it's a bit too early to comment on the comparison of hedged prices from one year to the other, because I don't want to isolate one aspect of the many aspects and parameters of profitability and give more detail on that. Suffice to say at this stage that indeed we're pretty positive about the prospects for 2011 overall. Now, why is the profitability not exactly the same in the two halves? I mean, you're talking about tiny differences in profits for a business that is huge in size, that is huge in complexity, with so many different contracts I'm not going to go into that level of detail. This is really the épaisseur du trait.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Frederik van Dahl from Kempen. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I had also two questions. First, I had a question on the feasibility of your supply streams. You're getting a new recycling plant on stream this year. Are you still happy with the supply streams for this plant, and do you still believe that that capacity will be fully utilized in, say, 2 to 3 years' time? And related to that, how important is it to diversify your supply streams further? You talk about, in the press release, about new supply streams from Asia. I already had the impression that your capacity utilization is pretty high at the moment. And the second question I had was related to the rechargeable battery materials. Relating to a question earlier, are you able to maintain profitability in this area? You say you talk about being profitable overall, but I was wondering whether you maintain profitability here. And what could you tell a little bit more about the patent family acquisition in the rechargeable battery materials? Do you still feel you have any white spots in your overall offer here? Thanks.
Okay. Your first question is a bit complicated to address in a way, because it took us one day to address that back in November during the Capital Markets Day and explain indeed how the various supply streams and fit in the picture, and what the perspectives are. Let me try to wrap that up in just a couple of minutes. The new investment in Hoboken is not a capacity extension. It has actually nothing to do with the current activities. It is we're positioning ourselves to recycle spent batteries, and actually we never said that we would fill capacity in the next 2 years. This is not the plan. We said it would take a number of years, and if my recollection is correct, we mentioned 2015 as being the horizon when we had the Capital Markets Day in that respect. But this is not even important, because for battery, if the battery recycling business is successful, then this capacity is only of a scale that is a fraction that the investment, that the capacity that will be required to treat, I would say, commercial size business in the longer term. So you should really see that as a way to enter the business and to position our unique technology in the segment. Now, this technology has a unique property that it can treat various streams of materials. And the facility that we built will actually be used as a pilot facility to, I would say, to pilot test the technology that we developed and tested at lab scale. We need now to move to pilot scale and to test a number of how we could treat a number of new supply streams that were not treated so far. And this is actually not so much related to the current activities. We have developed new technology and spotted opportunities to expand our business scope using that new technology. So it's nothing. It's not really related to a capacity extension of what we do today. Now, on the coming to your second question on battery materials profitability and the IP situation. On the IP, I would say we're pretty happy to say that we have the largest portfolio of technologies available in the marketplace for cathode materials, and we continue to develop products and to strengthen our portfolio further. I do not see very obvious white spots at this point in time, but it's one domain where technology development is relatively fast, and we need to be vigilant and continue to develop, continue to spend a lot of efforts in research and technology scouting to make sure that we continue to strengthen our portfolio and do not lose our competitive edge in that respect. Profitability, you know, it's an emerging sector that, I mean, it's a sector that's been growing quite a lot in the past 10 years. Now with a new emerging application for hybrid and electric vehicles, and as we mentioned earlier, clearly, there will be a need to improve the affordability of lithium-ion batteries for support a faster penetration of hybrids and electric vehicles in the marketplace, and materials have a role to play in that equation. So I would expect that, in many other new businesses, that prices will have to go down over time, and that will have to be made up for by productivity improvements, scale effects, volume gains, etc., which is a typical typical for a business at this stage of development.
Thanks very much.
And the last question we have is from Adam Collins from Liberum Capital. Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick question. On the zinc building materials business, you talk in the statement of the fact that the French business had a better first half than second half, which surprised me a bit, because if I remember rightly, the first quarter last year was affected by quite harsh weather conditions across Europe, including the French businesses. So could you explain what happened there? And also, why is it that you think that the recovery for building materials will develop particularly in the second half of the year? What's the ground for optimism there?
First of all, you're right indeed that the first part of the year, early part of 2010, was extremely harsh. We had extremely cold weather in Europe. But let me also remind you that between 25th of November and 24th of December, period of exactly 31 days, we had more than 21 or 22 days of uninterrupted snowfall. Here was temperature was possibly low. There was much snow that construction activity was brought to a. So now, actually, what also needs to be mind is the fact that first part of 2010 we still had a pre-crisis effect, and this is wiped out in the course of the year. And today we see more optimism is because observed or an improvement in some of the lead indicators. Sorry, that we one of them being the building permit application in certain countries.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And we have no other questions. Do you have any closing comments?
So we couldn't. So Mr. De Pauw didn't have a chance to dial in again and raise his question.
Unfortunately, not, sir.
Oh, okay, so we'll address that separately. So no, thank you. As a closing statement, I would like to simply repeat that we're pretty happy about the results that we managed to produce in 2010, and rebounding quite fast and solidly from the downturn of 2009, and way ahead of the schedule that we initially had communicated. So we're pretty happy about the performance. The trends are pretty good, as is confirmed by the fact that we had a very strong fourth quarter, or unusually strong fourth quarter, in the continuity of the patterns seen in the first part of 2010, and that explains why we ended up actually slightly above the guidance that we gave back in October of last year. We see the trends continuing to be supportive for all of our businesses in 2011, which is driving our optimism and confidence that we will be able to deliver profitable growth again in 2011. And this has also justified the board. This has also motivated the board to increase the dividend as a sign of confidence that we will be indeed able to deliver such performance to our shareholders. This being said, I would like, and last comment is that I would like also to repeat, sorry, is that we're making tangible progress in our strategic initiatives as part of Vision 2015, and we'll be happy to report further on those in the course of this year. This being said, I would like to thank you for your attention and questions. And as usual, our investor relations team will be available to address additional questions that you may have in the coming hours, days, and weeks. And I look forward to seeing most of you, I assume, in the coming days as we start our investor and analyst meetings around the globe. Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for attending.